And we thank you today that the Spirit is here to instruct us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, to give us answers to problems, Lord, that we've been seeking you for. We just believe right now as the word goes forth that answers will come, solutions will come, that fixes will come, Lord, and that your word is aligning us. It's making crooked places straight in our heart, in every arena, in Jesus' name. We receive it with gladness. Amen. Oh, yeah, I did. I forgot, Bobby. Thanks. Before we jump into the word, I knew there was something else. I just couldn't put my finger up. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper today. It's the first Sunday of the month. So, guys, go ahead. Please pass out the offering. Whoever shall say unto this mountain, that's one, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, I love that last part, whatsoever he saith. Three times, there it is. Well, last week we looked at the storm story of Jesus with his disciples, and he stood up in the boat in the midst of the storm. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and then he turned to the disciples and he rebuked them for unbelief. There was a whole lot of rebuking going on, wasn't there? And Jesus' works are designed not to just produce awe in us. I want you to see that in that story of the waves. Jesus wasn't trying to just show off how powerful he was. The works he performed before his disciples were not to produce an awe effect, A-W-E. They were to produce faith. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Jesus' works were not designed to produce awe. They were designed to produce faith. In other words, what he did, we can do. Amen? If you're taking notes, that's worth writing down. What he did, I can do. Amen? Amen. And John 14, 12 bears that out. Jesus said, and these works, he that believeth on me, these works and even greater works shall he do. Amen? Because I go to my Father. Isn't that what he said? John 14, 12, right? Not only these works that you see, but greater works. I don't know what that means, because if you raise someone from the dead, I don't know how you get greater unless you just raise more people from the dead. Jesus raised, three that I know of, three that I can think of. In the Gospels, maybe there's more. But, you know, I mean, greater would be, well, let's raise 30. There was a man named Smith Wigglesworth, lived about 100 years ago. I believe he's attributed with about 30, if I'm not mistaken, 20 or 30. I could have that number off, but it's not by far. He just did it kind of almost as a regular basis, raise people from the dead. Well, I think that's an example of greater works. Yes. Believing causes us to do greater things. Amen. Believing will make a faith hero out of you. Amen. How many faith heroes we want? We got in the room today. Want to be a faith? And not that we're trying to show off, but you know, faith will prove you as faithful. Faith will make it causes us to do things that aren't natural and step out on a limb. Amen. Do the courageous. Do the unheard of. Amen. No one ever heard of a shepherd boy defeating a giant. Yeah. You don't send a teenager up against a hardened Navy SEAL typically, right? The odds are too stacked against it. But David did it. He did it by faith. Amen. Amen. So look, turn to me with in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Would you turn there, please? Luke 17. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. You know, human tendency is to, and religious tendency, by the way, while you're turning there, let me give you a quick announcement. We have a few things that were left over at the camp out of blue and green towel. Bath towel, big bath towel. I guess someone was expecting rain. Blue and green bath towel was there, and also a green folding chair that said Magellan on it. So if anybody left a folding chair, a camp chair, see Lee Puffy. Raise your hand real high, Lee. Yeah, Lee's got both those items. He's got a towel and a chair. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, where are you? Luke 17. You know, human tendency is for us to sit back and go, Lord, I need help. I don't have what I need. Sometimes we feel helpless in a situation. We feel like, I just need God to do something for me, and then I'll overcome. And that's what the disciples were feeling here in Luke 17 when we read in verse 5. It says, the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Make our faith bigger. That sounds like a good religious prayer, doesn't it? How many of you know you can't fool Jesus with religion? You're not going to slide one past Jesus. Lord, make our faith bigger. Oh, that sounds so pious. And Jesus cuts right to the heart, and he looks at him, and he says, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So the point we take from this is it's not about huge faith, it's about vocalized faith. Are you with me? Jesus was correcting his disciples' thinking. They were thinking, I got to have huge faith to get anything done. And Jesus said, no, if you just have enough faith to say something, you'll get something done. Are you with me? I'm going to read that again. It's not about huge faith. It's about vocalized faith. Released faith moves the power of God. Amen? Causes the power of God to fall in a situation. You need the power of God in a situation in your life? Say something.
Amen.
You don't need any more faith. You don't need to read another book. That's what my wife would tell me. You know, most of the times when I'm looking for answers, I'm like, where's the book I need to read to find that answer? You don't need to read another book. You just need to say something. Faith needs to be released. Amen? You know, if you've got a really, really heavy-duty weapon, a nice 45 caliber pistol or a RPG, grenade launcher, whatever it is, I don't care how much power and potential is in that thing. If you don't pull the trigger, it might as well just be a doorstop, right? A prop for a play. Something to throw for the dog to fetch, right? That'll be kind of sore, but you know, you don't want to just have a weapon and not know how to release the power of that, the potential of that weapon. You've got to pull the trigger. Faith pulls the trigger by saying something. Amen. Saying something. When I was a kid, there was a kind of a bizarre movie that came out. Actually, it probably came out before my time, but when I was young, I was coming. Well, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but anyways, I was a kid, and The Incredible Mr. Limpet with Don Knotts came on. How many of you remember The Incredible Mr. Limpet? That was a great movie. It was really bizarre. Kind of park movie, park cartoon. And in that movie, the story is this guy fell into the ocean, Don Knotts, and he turned into a fish. Yeah. It's in the middle of World War II, as I recall, right? And so this fish had this incredible sonar capability, like he could open his mouth and he would go, like Godzilla, and he could, you know, he could shoot this like sonic wave out. And so they actually used it in the war to, you know, fight against submarines or something, that the Japanese or the Germans, whichever. But, you know, the story is this: little fish, big mouth. You got it? Little fish, big mouth. That's you and I. We are Mr. Limpet. Amen. Little fish, big mouth. Look at Psalm 8 with me. Psalm chapter 8. Some of you are going to go Netflix Mr. Limpet, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, now that I mention it. I'm not endorsing the movie wholesale. I saw it as a kid, but I just remember, little fish, big mouth. Psalm 8:2. This one was penned by David, and he says these familiar words: out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightst still the enemy and the avenger. Let's read it again. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that's infants, hast thou ordained strength. In case you didn't catch it the first time, God's saying, I want you to get this. These are young children, right? Not just kiddos, babies, right? One translation says, out of the mouth of children and infants. The stress there is infants. Hast thou ordained strength? An infant is the weakest of all, right? And God's saying, out of the weakest image, I bring forth strength. And how does he do it? Out of the mouth. Because of his enemies, that thou might still the enemy and the avenger. In other words, shut him down. How does God shut the enemy down? He's saying here in this verse, you don't have to be an adult, sophisticated, know-it-all person. An infant can do this. Through those who have enough childlike faith to open their mouths. Amen? I'm going to say it again. How does God steal the enemy? Through those who have enough childlike faith to open their mouths. That's a good place for an amen.
Amen.
If you believe it. Amen is a powerful word. I used to think amen meant all men. But no, it's a word that actually it's got deep-rooted meaning, and it means truth. I affirm this. It's like a politician standing up and saying, what does he say? I approve this message, right? Yeah, I'm not a politician, you can tell. I approve this message. That's what amen does. It's an acknowledgement. What are we talking about? Using your mouth. So go ahead and, where you feel to this morning, go ahead and shoot me an amen now and then if you believe it. Amen. It means you approve this message. This kind of speech, the kind of speech we're talking about here in Psalm 8:2, is not just an outpouring of pointless babbling. No, it's declaring God's power-filled words. Similar to the night when Jesus was arrested. You remember when Jesus was arrested in John, the latter part of the Gospel of John? It says they came to him and he said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, in the King James it says, I am he. In the original Greek language, he was two words, I am. Yes. Right? And he Mr. Limpeted them. The Bible says they fell backward to the ground. He just said, I am. And his very words, the power that was released in his very words, knocked these hardened soldiers to the ground.
Right.
I'm telling you, saints, there's power in your words.
Amen.
Not just any word.
Right.
It's the release of God-inspired words. When God tells you, I'm giving you this, then you say, God's given me this.
Yes.
You declare what he declares to your heart.
That's right.
And there's a release of power in it. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. There's a lot of truth just in that verse right there, isn't there?
Right.
You ever met somebody who's just way smarter than you? And they absolutely think differently than you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just on a whole nother plane. And when you talk to them, you kind of walk away going, huh? Right? Or they use words you just never heard of. Is that in the dictionary? You know, this is what God's saying here. He's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm above you. My ways are not your ways. I do things differently. Verse 9, for as the heavens are high, higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Now look at verse 10. This is powerful. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud. You should highlight that phrase right there. Underline it, circle it, put your yellow. You know, one of my favorite tools when I'm reading my Bible is my yellow highlighter.
Yeah.
Here's a little advertisement. Sharpie makes a great yellow highlighter. You can buy it in the box. You just keep that box in your house. And when one dries out, you just throw it out and you get another. I like a fresh, bright yellow highlight. Amen. You Bible students in here, you ought to have a box of Sharpie yellow highlighters in your house.
Amen.
That's a must-have tool for a Bible reader. Amen. Use that Sharpie. But he says there, it brings forth and buds. That's what God's word does in our life. Amen. When you speak the word of God, when you release it in faith, it brings forth and it buds. Why? So that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. We shared at the camp this weekend that, you know, we're not just living for ourselves. Amen. Somebody came before you that got you here, in case you didn't know it. Somebody's been praying for you. The reason you're in church today right here in front of me is someone prayed you in or witnessed to you about Jesus to get you in the place you're at. Amen. Someone came before you, and I'll just let you in on a little secret. Someone's coming behind you. See, Christianity is a relay race. Someone handed us a baton, and we're going to hand it to someone else, either knowingly or unknowingly. Amen. And I made this statement to the guys. I said, everybody who's ever walked the walk of faith knew that they were living for another person. They were doing it for you. They were doing it for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's not natural to walk the walk of faith. Naturally, we live selfishly for ourselves, for our own gain, our own comforts, our own delights and pleasures. No, but the walk of faith says, I'll sacrifice my pleasures for the one coming behind me. And it may be a nameless face, but someday when we get to heaven, we're going to be watching from the spectator stands. The circular, you know, we talked about being in the round, right? Like the round coliseums. And in heaven, I believe the saints there are watching and applauding us. Those who came before us and handed us the baton of life are watching and applauding us now as we live out our faith. And they're cheering us on from heaven.
Amen. Yes.
And I say that to emphasize the last part of verse 10 where it says he gives seed to the sower and bread for food. See, when you have victory in your life coming out of you, when you speak the word of God and you press through a situation into God's designed victory for you, it's food for you, but it's also seed for you to sow for someone else. Did you know that? Your victory is important. Your victory is seed for someone else's life. Amen. What you press through, when you get the comfort of God in your life, Paul said this. He said, we comfort others with the comfort whereby we've been comforted. See, again, Christianity is about the other, right? So why do we need victory? See, you don't have the right as a Christian to live defeated. You just don't have that right. Because Jesus has paid the price to give you victory so that you can press through, get the victory, and give it to someone else with your life example. Amen? When David slew the giant, you know what? You notice what happened afterwards? You look a couple chapters down the way in the book of Samuel, Chronicles, we see what? 30 mighty men. 30 mighty men. David's mighty men. These were the elite troops that followed David into battle. Who were they? Guys who fought lions in a pit on a snowy day. Guys who defeated an Egyptian with six fingers and six toes, you know, creepy stuff. And you know, guys who did incredible exploits. Why did these men do that? Because they saw David do it. The life of faith inspires others to do what you do. Amen? So you don't have a right in 2024 to be defeated. I just took away your right. You have a right to press in for your own personal victory so that it can be seed to the sower, bread for food. Amen? That's what we live for as Christians. We're living to sow seed. And of course, God gives us bread for our own food. Your victory is for you. Amen? Your victory is for your goodness, for God to give you something you've been needing. But it's also seed to the sower. You're going to sow that victory in another's life as they follow you. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So look at the last part again. Let's just back up again. It's so good. I hope you have underlined it by now. He brings forth and buds that it may give seed to the sower and may give bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you. That means there's nothing going to stand in your way. They'll break forth into singing. All the trees of the field shall fall on your cart. No, shall clap your hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign. Still, those are all word pictures of victory. Amen. Those are word pictures of breakthrough. Those are word pictures of the curse being overrun. Instead of the thorn shall come up the myrtle and all these things. God's saying, no more curse. I'm blessing you. Amen. And the blessing's going to rise up and just be like a garden around you. Amen. And it's for the glory of the Lord. I want you to note there in verse 11, when it says, so shall my word be. Listen, God's word in our mouth is equally as potent as his word from his. God's word in your mouth is as potent as his word from his mouth. And he has designed us to do that. As his children, he has designed us. What do your kids do? They imitate you, right? They hear you say something, better watch what you say. They're going to be saying it too, right? That's what kids do. And that's the way God designed us. What comes out of his mouth is supposed to come out of our mouth. And when it does, saints, it's powerful. God's word in your mouth, the Bible teaches us, is a sword. Paul refers to it as the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? In the beginning, when things got started, amen, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the first introduction of the idea of the Trinity to us. God, the Father, said, what came out of his mouth was what? The Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. John tells us he's the Word made flesh. And then the Spirit of God moved in such a way that what? When God said, let there be light, there was light. You see it? You see the whole Trinity right there in verses 1 through 3. God the Father, in the beginning God, he said something, and the Spirit of the Lord was right there in the midst of it all. Amen? Amen. That's right, Pastor. The Spirit fulfills the spoken word. That's his job. That's his job. When you speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit moves on that. Amen. The Bible says here he was moving on the face of the waters. He's just hovering. He's just waiting. What's the Holy Spirit waiting for? What are the angels of God waiting for? They're unemployed until we do what? Speak the word. Speak the word. God will do the same for you. When you speak the word, the Spirit will make it good. The Spirit will bring it to pass. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's not a spooky uncle. He's not a weird uncle. We like, you know, we let him sit at the other end of the table during the Christmas dinner. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God manifest. Amen. And if you want to see more power in your life, you need to do more speaking. Because what does the Spirit do? He makes good the spoken word. Amen. He makes it good. In 2024, you want to see darkness turn to light? Speak the word.
Amen.
You want to see mountains move? Speak the word. You want to see the hardened stone break apart and give way to streams of life? Now, I'm not talking about your husbands, ladies. I'm talking about the hardened stone breaking forth and pouring out streams of water. What do you do?
Speak the word.
What did Moses do?
He spoke
to the rock. It's a picture of you and I speaking to the situation. A rock is pretty immovable. A rock is pretty inactive. It's a picture of something that's just dormant, almost dead-like. And Moses spoke to the rock. He spoke to the rock. And waters poured out. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's time to do some speaking. One more verse and we're done. Colossians chapter 1. I want to stimulate you to action this year. I want to stimulate you, provoke you to speaking as you have spoken in no other year. Amen? Many times we think, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. You want change? It's your move. Many times it's our move and we don't know it. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you.
Amen.
We're not told in Genesis 1 account how long that happened. Where God stood and looked at the darkness. And the Spirit of God was just waiting there. Like power. You know, sometimes you can hear power in the room. Your refrigerator's run. You can hear the power in it. You know, you can hear. Sometimes you walk in a room. You can hear the light fixtures. The Spirit of God was just hovering there. It might have been for eons. Years and years. And then all of a sudden God said, light be.
Amen.
And the word was released.
Amen.
And at the release of the word, the Spirit of God empowered it to make it come to pass.
Amen.
Many times we think we're waiting on God. Yes. And God is waiting for you to release the word so the Holy Spirit can go to work in your life.
Yes.
Let this be a year that we activate the Holy Ghost, that we keep him well employed, rushing here and there. Angels busy, busier than ever. Don't have time to polish their halo because they're running so much for you and I. Colossians 1:16. Are you there?
Yes.
For by him were all things created.
Yes.
Everything we see,
yes.
This table, this carpet. Now, I know man made these, but where'd they get the elements to make them? Most things are made out of dirt. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think when I'm at home playing my plastic keyboards and things, I'm playing in the dirt. Everything comes from dirt, doesn't it? Think about it. Plastic comes from dirt. Wood, you know, if you're a carpenter, you do woodworking, come from the dirt. Trees come up from the dirt. Most everything we do, we're just kids playing in the dirt. But everything that we see with our natural eyes, look around the room right now. We see a canvas screen here, that computer, certainly made from dirt. Silicone chips. Right? Silicone chips in that box came right from the dirt. It all came from God's spoken word.
Amen.
Everything we see. Why should we doubt the power of the spoken word?
Amen.
When we're surrounded by example after example after example,
right.
Including ourselves. David said, you formed me in my mother's womb, right?
That's right?
We were the result of God's spoken word. And Colossians 1:16 says, by him were all things created. Who's it talking to? In the context, it's talking specifically about Jesus, not just God the Father, Jesus. By Jesus, who is the word made flesh, the spoken word,
right.
Were all things created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and ultimately for him. If you're a sculptor, sculpt for Jesus. Amen? If you're an iron worker, make some beautiful art out of that iron and do it for the glory of Jesus. All things are for him. Amen? Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I love that. He is before all things. Now, let's put it in the context of what we're talking about today. Before you see change in your life, before you see the victory, before you see that spouse be everything you want them to be, before your children behave the way you want them to behave, before anything you're believing God for, what has to happen? He is before all things. The word is before all things, right? Before you fill in the blank, before I get a better job, before I get more money coming in, before I get my health where I want it to be, before I hit my goals for my physical workouts, whatever you're believing for, before that thing happens, what's going to have to happen? He is before all things. Who's the he?
Jesus.
The spoken word. You get the idea? It's not a trick. I'm just trying to draw the connection there between the word and the all things. He is before all things.
Amen.
What has to happen before all things? You got to start by speaking. Now, there may be a point at time where God says, now you take action. Action is also the way we activate our faith. But more often than not, it begins with speaking.
Yes.
And he is before all things. And look at the last part of verse 17. And by him, by who? By Jesus, who is the Word. By the Word, all things consist. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you might say, subsist. The writer of Hebrews says that. By him, all things are held together. They consist, they exist. Those are good words, aren't they? Those words that end in
yes.
IST. They exist, they consist, and they subsist. They sustain, how? By the Word. By the Word. Well, that's it. Stand together with me.
Amen.
I'd say more if there was more notes, but that's it. So what's going to have to happen before the things you want in 2024? You're going to have to release the Word. You're going to have to say something because he is before all things. Amen? And I'll tell you, I'll let you in on a little truth too. Once you get that thing, because years ago I was believing God for something, and when it stepped into my world, I didn't realize it, but I had to keep saying what I had been saying to get that thing in order to sustain that thing. Sometimes faith has to be sustained through the process, not just once you achieve it, right? You got to continue saying. It's a sustaining thing. Faith words will sustain you. I was believing God for a new house. I got the new house, but I quit saying what I'd been saying to get to that point, to get the prosperity flowing in my life, to get to that point. And there was a year or two there where it was kind of shaky, making that new house payment. Why? Because I'd quit saying. I'd quit releasing my faith because I thought, oh, I got it. So sometimes you've got to sustain things by your word. By him, all things consist or exist, but they're also sustained by him. Are you with me? So that's just a little tidbit lesson I learned in my faith. You got to keep saying. You don't just stop once you get to that point. Sometimes you got to continue the faith speaking on through the process.
Yes.
You know, you believe in God for your child to come home. Maybe they've been wayward. You believe in them for them to come home. Will they come home? Well, then what do? You keep saying.
Yeah.
They're going to follow Jesus. You know, they're going to, whatever it is, the promise in your mouth, you keep that mouth on them and follow through. In golf, they tell you, follow through. In baseball, they tell you, follow through. Fishing, do they tell you, follow through in fishing? No, they just throw it out there and catch a fish. I don't know. Anyways, follow through is important. Amen. Follow through. Father, I thank you that you're causing us to be those. As we read in Psalm 8:2, the babes, the infants, the helpless ones, but who are trusting enough to open our mouth and say what you put in our mouth. To release faith, to release the sword of the Spirit, the power of God through the Holy Ghost and through God-filled words. Let your word be in our mouth in 2024 as never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go forth speaking today. In Jesus' name.